Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Please stand and face the cross.
Thank you.
Welcome to worship. You may be seated.
Good morning. The Sunday school students, teachers, and I want to welcome you to Reformation Sunday. I'd like to direct you to the inside part of your bulletin, to page 4, and you'll see printed out for you the words to Luther's morning prayer. After these children conclude their recitations, we will pray that prayer together as a congregation with the students leading you. Many of you will recognize the image the students carried into worship this morning as Luther's seal or coat of arms. This image has been referred to as Luther's rose because of the large white rose in the center of the seal. Martin Luther designed his seal at the encouragement of Prince John Frederick. This seal was used alongside Luther's publishing mark to identify Luther's writings in printed materials. Many Lutheran churches also use Luther's seal to identify themselves as part of the church body. Today you'll see this image on necklaces, lapel pins, and even clothing. But what is the significance behind the symbols? Luther himself explained the symbols in a letter written to Lazarus Spengler on July 8, 1530. These students will now share with you a shortened version of Luther's explanation.
In the center is a black cross that reminds us that Jesus died to take the punishment for our sins. Jesus is the center of our lives.
The red heart represents the love God has for us in sending Jesus to be our Savior, who shed his blood for our forgiveness.
The white rose helps us remember the work of the Holy Spirit who brings us to faith, strengthening us with his comfort and peace, and equipping us to live our lives for him as we grow in faith.
The sky blue background stands for the joy of the new life and hope of heaven that God gives to all who believe and trust in him for life and salvation.
The gold circle symbolizes our most precious gift, eternal life in heaven, where we will enjoy complete happiness with Jesus, our Savior.
Now join us as we pray. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Jesus loves me.
Okay, the students can now go sit with their parents. These are their mobiles to keep.
Thank you so much, Sunday School. That was what a great way to begin our Reformation Sunday. That was amazing. I invite the congregation to please stand. Our order of service for Reformation Sunday is Divine Service Setting 2, and you will find that on page 167. We begin with their invocation in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the introit printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Come, O children, listen to me. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for Reformation Sunday is from St. John's Revelation, chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On faith alone I stand.
Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith along with millions of Christians around the world. Today, we will confess the Nicene Creed. It's printed for you on page 174. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 947, All Glory Be to God on High. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today on Reformation Sunday is from our first reading from the book of Revelation, just these two little verses from John's vision of heaven, verses 6 and 7 in Revelation chapter 14, where we hear about this angel who's flying overhead, and the angel has the eternal gospel. He's proclaiming this gospel to the ends of the earth, all peoples, all tribes, all languages, all nations. And as we think about that message going to the ends of the earth, we think about the Reformation. We think about those who came before us, those who risked their lives to preach the true gospel to the ends of the earth. We think about Martin Luther and the Reformers, but we also think about the church's task today to do what that angel does. To bring that message to the world, the message of salvation, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We preach the scriptures alone. We give glory to God alone. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a special time of year for a whole bunch of different reasons, but you can kind of feel it in the air as you walk around outside. The temperature's cooler. You know, we had a little nice cold rain this morning. We'll see if we get some more later today. But, you know, the winds are picking up. The leaves are blowing off of the trees. We've seen and heard the combines out in the fields the last several weeks. It's just something you can't ignore. Creation is making it very clear that the seasons are changing. And even if creation didn't give us those clues, we would probably tell from being out in the world. It's probably going to be this week, I would guess, November 1st, when all of the Halloween candy gets taken off the shelves and you can see everybody transitioning into holiday Christmas mode. We're going to see it pretty soon here. But even if we didn't have those clues either, we'd be able to tell that things are changing just from coming here to church, just from walking into the sanctuary today and noticing that it is Reformation Sunday, and just knowing from living through the church year calendar year after year, we kind of know how Reformation Sunday is the first of all of these big festivals that we're going to be celebrating together as a church probably from now until the spring. It starts with Reformation Sunday today. We'll have All Saints Sunday next week. Pretty soon it'll be Thanksgiving, and then we're off running with Advent. And I don't mean to worry you at all. We've got time, okay? We'll just take it one week at a time, one Sunday at a time. But it is coming. All of the celebrations are coming. Now, today we're remembering what happened when this young Martin Luther, instead of going trick-or-treating on Halloween, like maybe a lot of our Hoyleton families participated in this past Friday night. Instead, for Luther, on All Hallows Eve 1517, decided to leave a treat of his own nailed to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, which was his 95 Theses against the sale of indulgences. This simple act by a simple man in a simple little corner of the world ended up having a huge impact. And it blew up so much that it could not be ignored by some of the great, powerful world leaders of the day. Certainly the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, and also the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, and all kinds of other folks in between. It launched a movement that really exploded. A movement that, thanks be to God, led to millions of Christians all over the world and for the last five centuries getting to hear the gospel in its purity. A movement, the Lutheran Reformation, which has also led to us being here at a place called Trinity Lutheran Church and School. It's all because of that little thing that took place 505 years ago. Now, these two little verses that I chose for the text today, which are appointed every year for Reformation Sunday from Revelation chapter 14, when you read those two little verses about the angel flying around and preaching this gospel, it might seem kind of strange that this would be appointed for Reformation. I mean, it just kind of seems random, you know, like the lectionary committee just kind of cherry-picked this random saying from a random angel in John's vision of heaven. But it's actually not as random as it might seem at first glance. The angel that John sees in Revelation 14 for a long time has been associated with Martin Luther. Now, I should say, not that we're saying Luther is an angel, okay? He's a human being. He didn't turn into an angel when he died or anything like that. But the kinds of things that Martin Luther did are kind of like what we see this angel doing here in Revelation 14. In fact, when Martin Luther passed away, his pastor, who preached his funeral sermon, Pastor Johann Bugenhagen, which is an awesome name, the pastor actually did preach Revelation 14. And make those associations between Luther's life and ministry and what we see this angel saying and doing. So it's kind of stuck ever since then. What do we do see this angel doing? Well, in verse 6, the first thing it says is that he's flying overhead. Well, Martin Luther never did that. I don't think so. But after that it says, he cries out with a loud voice. I've never heard Martin Luther preach. There were no recordings back then, but I think we can all imagine that he probably had a pretty loud voice from the pulpit. Here, in this text, in the Greek, the word loud is a word you're familiar with, mega. Mega. And the word for voice is phoné. So you kind of put that together, and it's mega phoné. It's a megaphone, right? And I didn't actually have a megaphone, but I was looking around the school, and I found this. Sorry, Mr. Schaff, I'll return it when I'm done. He's got the megaphone, or a megacone, whatever you want to say. And what does he say with this loud voice, this megaphone? Fear God and give him glory. That was awesome. I could get used to that. Maybe I should always preach this way. Okay, maybe not. That's the message. Fear God. Give him glory. That's what Martin Luther's life and ministry was all about. That's what the Lutheran Reformation was all about. Preaching essentially through a metaphorical megaphone. That God is the one and the only one who deserves all the glory. Salvation is not found in humanity, in our ability to save ourselves, in all of our holiness and our piety and our good works. That's not the thing that's going to save us. Rather, it's Christ alone who died on the cross and rose from the dead to save you from the punishment of sin and eternal death. When that pure gospel was being proclaimed in Little Wittenberg, it was being preached so loud and clear that it literally changed the world. Can you imagine a world where the Lutheran Reformation had never taken place? What would the church, what would Christianity look like today? Would we still be feeling like we needed to pay for indulgences for our relatives who had died and are maybe in purgatory as we had been taught all those years ago? Would we feel like we were able to translate our scriptures into English so that we could understand them? Or would the church continue to insist that everything has to be done in Latin? Would it be possible for us to see other kinds, or just imagine what sorts of corruptions and other man-made doctrines would have come up in the last 505 years that we would sort of be forced to go along with if we wanted to be part of the church? There's lots of different aspects to the Reformation. It's not all just about things like the church's greediness in those days, and it's not just about things like are you going to be are you going to have allegiance to the Pope or things like that? I mean, those things are part of it, but they're not what it's all about. In the end, what's behind the entire Reformation is the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ itself was at stake in those days. And there were people willing to fight so that that gospel would never, ever be snuffed out. What it comes down to is that whether the people, the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, even the Pope himself, whether they realized this or not, in the days of the 16th century, the church had kind of become an organization that got really comfortable worshiping human things, humanity, human effort, things like that, and emphasizing those things over and above the worship of God. So it might be something kind of subtle, like when you say, it doesn't really matter if you can read the Bible or not. All you need to do is obey the church's authority. We know what the Bible says, and we'll teach it to you. Okay, well, humanity starts getting elevated a little too high, and Jesus starts getting pushed to the back. You combine that with things like, in those days, most Christians believed that something that would actually help to strengthen your faith even more than attending Sunday worship would be to travel to see the relics, the bones of the dead saints, that was going to strengthen your faith even more than actually hearing the word of God. Again, humanity being elevated, Jesus getting pushed aside. Let alone the fact that they taught works righteousness, the idea that you do enough good things and that's what's going to earn your way into heaven. Again, focusing all on human accomplishments, human holiness. Meanwhile, the gospel, the fact that Jesus paid for it all, died on the cross for your sins and mine, that's the part that gets set aside. The church was in pretty bad shape in Luther's day. It didn't all get that way overnight. It took a long time to get that way, but it was bad. But that's how the devil works, though. He's really, really subtle and sneaky. Even Martin Luther himself, when he wrote against the sale of indulgences, which are those little pieces of paper that people would buy to try to earn salvation for themselves and for their loved ones who had died, even when he was writing about these things, he didn't realize the magnitude of the church's corruption at the time. Actually, he thought, for the most part, things were going pretty well. It's just that, you know, he thought there were some problems locally in Wittenberg and that those things need to be cleaned up. The furthest thing from Martin Luther's mind was that he wanted to go and start a new church. He actually just wanted to kind of clean up some things that were happening in the church of his day. So there's actually a quote about that, because this is one of the things that sometimes Lutherans get accused of, that we worship Luther, and that's just not the case, and it's never been the case. And Luther himself said, in the first place, I ask that men make no reference to my name. Let them call themselves Christians, not Lutherans. Ooh, that didn't really work out the way that he envisioned, did it? But the point is that he wasn't some ambitious troublemaker just trying to make a name for himself. And he definitely didn't know that the problems that were going on in Wittenberg were so widespread. He thought it was just a few local priests that were going a little too far, trying to get people to buy these indulgences. And he actually took a copy of those 95 theses, and he sent them to his archbishop, because he thought, well, if the archbishop sees what's going on, clearly he's going to swoop in and clean everything up. And that was a little naive on Luther's part, because he didn't realize that the whole thing was a big money-making scheme that was orchestrated from the Pope all the way down. He didn't realize that. It was all meant to raise money to help build up St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It was pretty bad. It was pretty messy. But we give thanks that as crazy as things got and as far away as the gospel of Jesus Christ had been pushed in those days, it was never snuffed out. It was never completely destroyed. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the one who is in charge of his church, and he's not going to let the church or the gospel die. So you go back to verse 6 in this text here, Revelation 14, and what is it that the angel with the megaphone, the loud voice, what is it that he has to give to all the peoples of the earth? It's not just any old message. It says here, he has an eternal gospel. And there's a lot of comfort in that word, eternal. No matter how badly we, in our sin, might mess things up in the way that we do church, either now or 500 years ago or 500 years into the future if the Lord doesn't return before then. No matter what we do, we are never going to be able to destroy the eternal gospel. The good news always gets proclaimed through the megaphone, in pulpits, through pastors, from Wittenberg to Washington County and everywhere in between, that Jesus died for your sins and you don't have to pay for them yourself. I could really get used to this. Awesome. You don't have to work to save yourself. It's not about your good deeds. It's not about how many prayers you can rattle off. It's not about how much money you put into the offering plate or how much money you type into your phone when you scan the QR code in the bulletin today. It's not about any of that. It's about Christ. It's always been about Christ and his love for you and for me, and it goes so beyond our capacity to deserve it or earn it. That's what Martin Luther and all of his partners in the Reformation were fighting for. They did it with faithfulness. They did it with bravery. We certainly owe them a lot, but they'd be the first to say it's not about them. Again, it's all about Christ. Christ is the one who's Lord over all. He's the one who deserves our worship. He's the one that deserves our praise. There isn't a single person on earth who could take his place. That's what the Reformation is really all about. That's why we're sitting here today. When we come to worship, we worship God. We don't worship people. We don't worship other people. We don't worship ourselves. We say along with the angel here in John's vision and with Martin Luther himself, fear God. Give him the glory. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Happy Reformation Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a few updates for the prayer list today. We give thanks and praise to God for the births of two babies in our congregation this week. Nolan Keith Grody, the son of Ben and Michaela Grody, who was born last Sunday, and all is going well. And also, Nora Dorothy Rossi, the daughter of Dan and Ashley Rossi, granddaughter of Diane Y., who was born on Thursday. Today we also remember the family of Bradley Leitz. That's the brother of Jim Leitz, and Bradley passed away this past Monday. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, you have renewed your church in every age with the voices of those who recall your people to the gospel and who speak your word in all circumstances. Receive our thanks for Martin Luther and those with him who contended for the gospel against many and great enemies. Make us bold that we would also contend for the faith against those who would silence our voices or distract your people from the one true gospel of the crucified and risen Christ. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, guard and defend us and your holy Christian church throughout the world, that we may be protected from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. Bless those who serve in the mission field, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and be with our sister congregation, Olive Branch Lutheran in Frogtown. During this time of pastoral vacancy, we ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit to lead them quickly to the man you have chosen to be their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on our nation. Give us good and faithful rulers who will govern after your good pleasure. Give us comfort and a right understanding of your rule in this world, that we would not be deceived to think earthly powers will last forever, but have confidence in you alone. Give courage and faith to those who serve in the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Lucas, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, make us truly your disciples. Keep us in your word, free us from all errors, and make our homes and families peaceful. We thank you for the rain you have sent to water the earth. We ask that you would continue to provide favorable weather and safety for those who work in the fields. Bless all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Aaron, Haley, Daniel, and Tracy. Preserve all parents and encourage them for their godly task, that children would be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. We give you thanks and praise for the births of both Nolan Keith Grody and also Nora Dorothy Rossi, and we ask that you would bless them mightily as they grow and quickly lead them both to the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy, God of grace, do not let your people fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Rescue all people in need, especially all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Marlene, Thretta, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Helen, Jim, Imogene, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Amy, Tony, Diane, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Charlie, Shoei, Judy, Paula, all those who are fighting cancer. We also ask you, Lord, to bless those who mourn the loss of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Bradley Leitz. Comfort them with the promise that you are always with them. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you have granted us the privilege of a place at Christ's table. Give us faithful and repentant hearts by your Spirit, that we would receive worthily your Son's body and blood, and depart to bear his fruit in lives of holiness and humble service. Bless your church through the forgiveness of sins, that we would have a clear conscience before you and live at peace with one another. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us by your word out of the darkness of error and into the light of your grace. Mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from error and false doctrine. Grant that we would not become ungrateful and despise your word, but receive it with all our heart. Conduct our lives according to it and put our trust in your grace. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Please stand. We turn to page 176, and we sing together the offertory. We continue now with the service of the sacrament on page 177. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Our post-communion canticle is Thank the Lord.
Lord and see.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Closing hymn for Reformation Sunday is Onward Christian Soldiers, number 662. Good morning. What a blessing it is to gather together on a day like today, even though the weather isn't perfect outside, but you know what? It's always sunny in Hoyleton. It's a sunny disposition we have because the Lord is always smiling upon us. And we give thanks today for our Sunday school once again for setting the tone for our worship today. That was really great. Thank you. Yes. And thanks also to the mixed choir. That was a wonderful choir anthem to hear that refrain of sola fide on faith alone on Reformation Day. What a great thing. There's immediately following the service day, the celebration continues. For those of you who identify as seniors, you are invited to join the other seniors in the activity center over in the school. There's going to be a senior social with a roast beef dinner served. And also, Donovan Holly is here, and he's going to be presenting some information on the history of Hoyleton. I know it's going to be a blast, so looking forward to that. Tonight is men's choir practice at 6 o'clock in the balcony, so guys, please join us tonight. Tomorrow night is a busy night here. We've got chimes at 6, we've got finance board at 7, and the elders are also meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So lots going on there. Tuesday is the 1st of November, which makes it the first Tuesday in November, which makes it Ladies' Aid night. So Ladies' Aid will be meeting this Tuesday at 7, Mixed Choir on Wednesday, and Women's Bible Study on Wednesday. And those are actually all the announcements that I had. There will be a youth night next week for those who would like to attend there, YPS and Club 58 next Sunday. Anything else that needs to be announced? Yes. There's no women's Bible study on Wednesday. Christ Our Rock is having their open house on Wednesday, so from 6:30 to 8. Thank you. So there is no women's Bible study. Yes. There's no chimes. So just put a big X through everything I just said. Okay. Anything else going on? Okay, enjoy the rest of your day. What? One more thing. What's that? Oh, okay. You are forgiven. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week.
Have a blessed week.